Thanks for listening to the Cool Church Podcast. This is Joanne Wilson, co-pastor at Cool Church. We're praying that wherever you are on this journey, that this message encourages you. And we want you to know that you were created out of love. And now, here's today's message.
Let's get right into this word right now. I want you to turn your attention to Exodus 14, 10 through 18. And then I want you to put your finger on verse 28. And let's just get right into it. It says verse 10, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. Verse 11, they said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Verse 13, Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today will never see again. You will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. I believe that that's a great place to say amen and to underline. I'm going to read that again. Verse 14, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Verse 15, then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. And we're going to go down to verse 28. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen. The entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived. Today, if you're taking notes, I've entitled this message, The Watchman. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you once again for the opportunity to glorify you in this moment, God. I pray that as these words go forth, Lord, that they don't go forth void, Lord, that they may touch the hearts and mind of all who are watching, God. I pray for transformation. I pray for shift of perspectives, especially in these times, God. Be with your people right now. Speak through me, Lord. I pray that I lie down as you rise up, Lord. All praise and glory and honor to you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Over the past few weeks, we've been in the books of Exodus, and man, did Pastor Terrence preach a word last week, and he entitled it, Blood in the Water. And it was all about the different plagues that God unleashed into Egypt. And each of those plagues were designed to wage war on a specific god in Egypt, because Egypt was a polytheistic society. That means they worshiped many different gods. And so each of the plagues were designed specifically to target a specific god. And, you know, we talked about how each of those things and all of the different plagues really specifically targeted those gods. But we learned that maybe all of these things that we're experiencing in 2020 may actually be God killing all the gods around the world today. But ultimately, God put blood in the water to redeem his people. Because it is by the blood of Jesus that we are redeemed as sons and daughters of the Most High God. The Lord leads the Israelites into the wilderness and towards the Red Sea. And this is where we're going to focus today's message. As the Lord leads them through the wilderness, the Israelites encounter so much opposition. But so much of their issues were because they were watching the wrong things on the journey. You see, their perspective was wrong. The destination God planned for them was the promised land, but they could not see past the wilderness. I feel like in 2020, so much of us, with so much trouble and opposition coming from every direction, so many of us are losing sight of the promises that God has for us. We get so off focus, or we're getting so off focus in this season of transition. And if we're not careful with what we watch, we may lose out on everything God has for us. So today, I really want to talk about healthy perspectives that we are to keep in 2020. And as we read through these passages about the Israelites' journey, I believe that there are things that we can be watching for today to help us with those perspectives. The first thing is, watch what you say. Watch what you say. If you're taking note, that's, write that down. Watch what you say. Exodus 14:10. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." My God, they spoke the language of fear, of worry, of doubt, of defeat. Here they are, after being enslaved for over 400 years, you would think that they would be grateful, that they would be happy that they're able to live in freedom. But what did they do? They complained. They were so negative. You can almost hear them. "This is too hard. Being slaves were easier than this. This would have been better. It would have been better for us to stay slaves. At least we'd be alive. It would have been, we should have never trusted God. Oh, this is horrible." They were so negative. Let me ask you a question. What has God freed you from? And do you sound like somebody who has been freed? I believe that too many of us have been freed, but we're still speaking the language of bondage. Too many of us have to be more careful about the words that we speak out over our lives. Proverbs 15:4 tells us, "Gentle words bring life and health. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit." The more you speak the language of defeat, the more you'll live a life defeated. So many of us can get so casual with the negative words that we're speaking about ourselves or to ourselves or to others. Maybe you're the kind of person that, you know, you just say things and you mean no harm. You mean no harm by them. And maybe you even make jokes about it. But we got to be careful because our words have power. What am I talking about? I mean, I've heard people say things like, "Man, I'll never leave this job, this dead-end job that I hate. I'll be here forever." Sounds really miserable, doesn't it? Or I'll hear them say things like, "Man, there's no good men out there, no good women out there. I'm gonna stay single forever because these people, these men, these women are trash. Ain't no good people out there." Man, if that's how you feel, then you're gonna stay single. You have to be able to speak out the thing, speak life into your situation. But, you know, I don't mean to get hard on you because I do it all the time too. I've had to catch myself because I'll say things like, I don't know, like, "I'm fat." You know, whenever I don't work out or I feel bad about not working out, I know I get to be down. I tend to get down on myself and I'll say things like that. Or maybe it's a hard parenting day. So I'll say things like, oh, I'm a terrible mom. Oh, I'm terrible. I don't deserve any kids. Like, I'll say things like that. And I know that that is not life. We cannot speak those negative words, those words of death over our life, because what we speak over our life becomes the life that we live. What has God freed you from? And do you sound like someone who's been free? See, I love my amazing friend, Nicole. Nicole is a trainer, and she's also one of the leaders here at Cool Church. And boy, I love her. I love her so much because she's very particular and she's very meticulous about her style of training. And for her, it's not just about the physical body, but it's about the mental state. It's about the spirit and the body and how those things all work together. So we'll even pray before we work out and afterwards, and she'll be talking to me and motivating me the entire way. But the thing I love the most about her is she will not allow any kind of negative talk, no matter how innocent it may be, no matter how, you know, harmless they may seem. She nips it right in the bud every single time. What am I talking about? Maybe she'll have me do something like a really hard workout, push-ups, burpees, something like that. And then right after it, I'm out of breath and I'm like, Nicole, you're trying to kill me. And she'll immediately stop me. She won't even let the words all the way come out of my mouth. She's like, excuse me? No. I'm trying to live you. You living. And it's so funny because she's always so adamant about me speaking life. Or it'll be things like, oh my God, I'm about to die. And she's like, no. You're about to live. You're living right now. And it's funny because as I, you know, started working more and more with her, I find myself catching myself before saying and speaking out those negative things. And the funny thing is the more I speak out the good things, the more energy I find. And I end up going harder and deeper into beast mode to even do more work than I would have done otherwise. See, I want to shout out Nicole for being one of those positive speech bringers, those people in my life that do not speak negative words and always speak positive words to me and to everyone around her. So what's the point? We need to watch what we say. Instead of, oh man, I can't do this, what about if we tried saying things, man, I could do anything with God's help? Instead of, I'll never find a good man or a woman, what if it's, you know, God, prepare my heart and eyes to see who you're sending my way. Instead of, I'll never get out of this dead-end job, how about speaking, you know, saying thanks to God. Thank you, God, for this job. I'm going to work hard and honor you in this position so that when you give me my own, my employees will also work hard and honorably for my business as well. We got to speak life. We have to watch what we say because our words have power and our words become our reality and the way that we live our life. The next thing we got to watch for healthy perspective in this time, in this season of transition, because I believe that we are in a season of transition. This is not the destination, but in this season of transition, we want to make sure and watch our enemies disappear. Let me say that again. We want to watch our enemies disappear. What am I talking about? Let's look back at the text. Exodus 14:13 tells us, Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." That is a good place to say amen. I want you to underline that last part. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Why? Because that is a promise, my friends. The Lord will fight for you if you trust him enough to do it. If you follow his instructions, he will always fight for you. The word is telling us to not be afraid of our enemies, but rather, you know, and not just our enemies, anything that opposes us can be an enemy. We have to stand firm because God's promises are always closer than we think. What do the Egyptians in this passage represent for you? You know, the Egyptians were no more. They saw those Egyptians, their enemies, no more. God was about to fight that battle and win for them. Now, I'm not about to make the point that all of our trouble in our life will disappear and we're never going to experience anything once we say yes and trust in God. Oh, no, it's not about those things just simply disappearing, but it's about the way that we receive and that we perceive those things. That which gave you so much trouble and anxiety no longer becomes a source of trouble and anxiety because your perspective has changed. You are walking with Christ. You are walking with him, and he has fought that battle from your mind, from your perspective. Some people want to see you fail. And you've probably been listening to all those things, those words that they're throwing your way. But as you allow God to speak life to you, as you speak life through the word of God, those haters, those naysayers will be silenced. See, the word of the Lord for you today is do not be afraid and stand firm. The Lord is going to fight for you today. Amen. This is a little bit of a sidebar here, but I want to go back up a few verses just for a moment to Exodus 14:10. And it says, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were Egyptians marching after him. See, God takes the Israelites out of slavery. They finally get what any person in bondage would have wanted. What's that? Freedom, right? But isn't it interesting that they kept looking in the direction of their oppressors? Woo, my God. You see, you can't be really free if you're always looking in the direction of what has kept you in bondage. I feel like so many people are looking for freedom in the wrong direction. Some of us are looking for freedom in drugs and addiction. Those things were made to hold you into a state or in a state of addiction. Those drugs are exactly what put you in bondage, so you cannot go back to the place where bondage became a reality, hoping that you're going to find freedom. Some of us are looking for freedom in our finances. Maybe you're the kind of person that's been in a cycle of living in lack. You just can't seem to get hold of your finances. Your bills are too much. And maybe you feel like you got to keep borrowing to make ends meet. And then you borrow some more and then you borrow some more. And you just keep digging yourself into a hole. See, you can't break the chains of financial bondage by borrowing more. Or maybe it's your love of money that is keeping you in bondage. You'll do anything for a check. You have a selfish mindset. Everything is about how you're going to get the next check. See, you can't heal those broken places in your life with money. You have to change your mindset about finances. It's about stewardship and putting God first. That's where you gain freedom from the bondage of money. You got to put God first. It's the spirit of generosity that gives you freedom that you're looking for. Some of us are looking for freedom in relationships that we know aren't healthy. Man, you've probably stayed with a person that's been so abusive to you for so long, and maybe you've been paralyzed by the oppressive words that they've attacked you with, that they've been speaking over you for far too long. Well, let me be the one today that speaks life to you today. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The Lord is your helper. You do not need to fear. The Lord has plans for you. He declares that he has plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. God loves you. The Lord will fight for you. So you don't have to stay in that abusive relationship any longer. I know it's not easy, but I believe that it starts with undoing the mental and spiritual damage that has been done. We got to start reversing all that negative talk, all of those negative things that were spoken over you. We undo those by speaking the word of God, the life-giving word of God over you. I hope you took notes, because those words, all those things that I spoke to you, you got to just continue speaking those things into your life and watch how your spirit that is already inside of you begins to activate itself and gives you the courage to do what you need to do. But I understand we are living in this world and we need some help. So I don't want to put that out there and then not provide any help or support beyond this message. So if this is you, if you are a person that are in an abusive relationship and you just need some support, some help, maybe you need us just to pray with you, to give you the strength to believe the beautiful words that God says about you. I want you to go ahead and contact us at the email address that's on the screen right now. We want to get around you. Maybe it's about just surrounding yourself with people who will pray and speak life over you. Amen. Let's go to Exodus 14, 15. Let's continue. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on." Oh my gosh. I think this is one of my favorite parts of this, these passages, because I'm just like, I'm all about keep it moving. And I can hear God saying, like, come on, what are you doing? I'm about to give you the greatest miracle of all time. I'm about to divide the water so you can walk through the sea on dry ground. And y'all over here crying out to me, come on, move on. This is about to happen. I believe that is a word for some of you today. That is the word of the Lord for you today. See, God heard you. Oh, and he's made a way. He's made a path for you. But so why are you still crying out to him? You've sought him. He's spoken to you. He's giving you the answer. The only thing left to do is to move on. Stop crying. Oh, beloved, God has a path designed just for you on dry ground for you today. Keep it moving. Sometimes we get so comfortable with looking back and checking for our enemies. We want to see what they're doing because, you know, they might be after us. We want to see. We've become too comfortable with them, right? God is saying it's time to move on. Stop looking back at your enemies and move forward towards the promise that I have for you. Oh, come on. I know God has been speaking to your heart today. You know who you are. You know what you need to do. Yes, it's scary. You've never been there before, but you got to keep your eyes forward and move towards that promise. And you know what? I'm no stranger to this. I'm preaching to myself today. There's so many things that I've been praying about in my life personally. And, you know, God has provided a way for me. And I find myself in front of the provision, in front of the path, but yet I go back to prayer, crying out to him. And I feel like God is telling me, move on, daughter. The path is already there. The answer is there. Move into the promise that I've designed for you. But I found myself being a little hesitant. Why? Maybe it's the fear that I have of the responsibility, or maybe it's the fear of failure. Maybe it's the fear that it won't turn out the way that I thought it would. But I'm speaking to myself, move on, Joanne, move on, because the path is set and I got to trust God that he will bring me to the promise. And lastly, for us to gain healthy perspective in this time, we have to watch God get the glory. Exodus 14, 16. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. Verse 17, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. Let's skip down to verse 28 again. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived. Oh my God. When God divided the water, his people were able to walk on the dry path he set for them. The Egyptians went out after them, but they drowned. They drowned in their pursuit, man. The world is drowning in bad news in 2020, isn't it? But you don't have to drown with it. I believe that there's a path of dry land for his people. Because when it seems like there's no way, oh my God, he will always make a way. Glory be to God. I believe that he is making a way for his people in 2020. The water is being parted, is being divided. So it's time to move. Get ready to move, people of God, because God has set the path before him, before us. Sometimes God needs to separate us from things in order for us to go in the right direction so that he can lead us on the right path. We got to stop looking at our past. Stop looking at where the enemy is, where the enemy wants to pull us back so that you can drown with him, because that's what people drowning do. Don't they pull at whatever they can and you end up drowning with them? See, you don't hear me. Too many of us are watching enemies when we need to be watching God and his glory. See, we've got to look higher. We have to look higher. The Watchmen. See, I love the show, The Watchmen. It's called Watchmen, and it's an Emmy award-winning TV show. But I don't want to talk about that Watchmen. I want to talk about the Watchmen in the Bible. See, Watchmen were guards that were responsible for protecting towns and military installations from surprise enemy attacks and their potential dangers. Sometimes, Watchmen were scouts who looked out for approaching friends as well, not just enemies, but they also looked out for approaching friends. Ancient Israelite cities often positioned these watchmen on high walls or in watchtowers. So they would go to a high point or a high vantage point in order to gain a better perspective and see far out and around the thing that they were guarding. See, I believe that the Lord is calling us to be watchmen in this season. He's calling us to go higher in this season. We need to see things from a higher perspective, from the watchman's point of view. We gotta go higher. We can't go low where the enemy is. That's where the enemy wants to keep us. That's where he wants to pull us so that we can drown in his confusion. See, as followers of Christ, we should always be kingdom-minded. So what does a kingdom-minded person look like? See, being kingdom-minded is not letting the crazy headlines get us to a place of anxiety. It shouldn't overwhelm us with worry. It's about not engaging in meaningless Facebook wars. Oh my gosh, I see those all the time. It's about forgiving those who have done us wrong in order to keep us clean, to keep our hearts clean. It's about bringing in the spirit of reconciliation any chance that we get. It's about staying in an attitude of prayer, because there's enough attitudes going around in the world. We don't need to add to it. It's about speaking truth through God's word in a world full of lies. That's kingdom-minded. Satan's agenda is to divert our attention from God's agenda. He wants us to get all entangled. He wants to distract us with his chaos and the havoc that he's wreaking on the world at every turn. See, I was reading comments on somebody else's post the other day, and man, were they so divisive and just so evil and mean-spirited. And I felt myself almost getting caught up in a comment crusade. How many of us have ever gotten wrapped up in the comment crusades where we gotta clap back because somebody is saying some foolishness and we feel like we wanna let them know what time it is? But then guess what happens? We start to get all wrapped up in the craziness of that back and forth. And you know what? It never ends, because those people that put out those negative comments, that's what they're there to do. Their job is to create divisiveness in the atmosphere and on these platforms. Their job is to destroy the unity of people. Their job is to pick fights. And so when we get caught up, when we get baited into those comment crusades, it's a losing battle. Because those people, and you know what? Some of those people are not even real people. They're robots, they're bots. And so we can't allow ourselves to get caught up in the distraction of the comment crusades. I'm guilty. I've found myself in one of those and I had to step back. And it's so bad, it's gotten so bad that I even see believers, I see leaders getting involved in this sort of comment wars, and it just does not help anybody. We have to rise above that. The enemy wants to pull us down into that that empty space. See, those comments are below the post. You gotta go low to engage. See, we gotta stay high. We can't go low to engage with the enemy, amen? This is why we have to be vigilant as watchmen in our communities, in our churches, in our homes, in our families, and you know what? Even for ourselves, we gotta be vigilant in the things, in being careful about the things that we watch, the things that we focus on, the things that we look at. We can't take our eyes off of God's purpose for us. We can't let the enemy take us off watch. God wants us to be watchmen, to stay on guard, to stay alert. See, the enemy wants us to focus on him. He wants us to go low where he is. Remember, the enemy is always drowning. He's drowning in his own pride. He's drowning in his own sin, chaos, and schemes, destructions, and lies. That's his vantage point. He's got a low vantage point. But God's people, we are to stay high. We have to keep our eyes looking up towards the one true God, the one that deserves all the glory. We have to keep moving on the path of righteousness, where the vantage point gets higher and God gets all the glory. Watch God get the glory. I want you to bow your head right now. I want to pray for some people today. I want to pray for two types of people that may be watching this Sunday. First, for the one that doesn't know Jesus. You see, when the world went low, when the world was low, oh, Jesus went high to save us from sin. Jesus has created a path for us to walk through today. And today we can live free from the bondage of sin, the bondage of our past, the bondage of our addictions, the bondage of the things that wants to keep us drowning if we accept him in our hearts. The Bible says in Romans 10, 9 through 10, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. So pray this prayer with me, and I want you to say it with everything inside of you, because there's no point in praying this prayer if you don't mean it. Dear Jesus, I've sinned. I'm not proud of it. God, I don't want the sin anymore, Lord. Take it away from me, God. I want to live in your freedom, Lord Jesus. I want the love and the peace that you offer, God. Change me. Cleanse me, God. Forgive me of all the things that I've done, God. Cleanse me so that I may walk on the path that you set out for me, God. Take me higher. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer and you believed it in your heart, then guess what? You get to walk on the path that Jesus has set for you. You get to live in the fullness of his love and freedom. And I just want to say welcome to the family. There's going to be a few prompts that come up on the screen right now. We'd love it if you would follow those prompts. And really, we want to just welcome you to the family and give you some resources to help you on the journey so that you don't end up complaining or grumbling like some of those Israelites did, right? The second person that I want to pray for today is for those of you who may have already prayed that prayer. Maybe you prayed that prayer a long time ago. Maybe you just prayed that prayer last week. And it's just been a hard road. And throughout 2020, it just seems like everything just keeps piling itself. All the bad news just keeps coming at you. And you found yourself maybe getting off course. Maybe you've lost your way a little bit. Maybe you've allowed those things to change your perspective, to skew your perspective. I want to pray for you right now today. So why don't you reach out your hands towards the screen. Father God, I want to pray right now. I lift up my brothers and sisters, God, your sons and daughters, Lord. I pray that you bless them, God. Give them the strength, Lord. Send your spirit, activate their spirit in their lives, Lord, so that they may walk on the path that you set out for them, God. That they may not get distracted, God, that they may not allow the troubles of this season of transition to take them off the course that you've set for them. God, I pray that you help focus their eyes, Lord. Help them to focus their eyes on you, God. God, help them to shift their perspective, to see that you are still in control and that it is time to move, God, to move on towards the promise that you have for them. God, bless them, guide them, protect them. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope that something in this message spoke to you today. I hope it blessed you because I know it spoke to me. And you know what? If it spoke to you, maybe you want to share it with somebody so that they too might gain something from it. So go ahead and push that share button. And Stacy is going to be leaving you with some last, these few directions. But before we do that, I just want to pray a blessing over your life for the rest of this week. Father God, I bless your people. Bless all of them wherever they go, Lord. Bless their homes. Bless their families, God. Bless their week. Be with them. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening. To hear more messages like this one, please be sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel. And if you like what you've heard, please consider sharing it with your friends because it helps so much. Don't forget to connect with us at our website, thecoolchurch.com. And always remember that you were created out of love.